we'll turn for a scripture reading first of all to Psalm 104. Psalm 104. And then we'll be turning back to Matthew chapter 6 again as we continue our studies in the Lord's Prayer. But first of all, reading from Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honour and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed for ever. Thou coveredst it with the deep, as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys, unto the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound, that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valleys, which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field, the wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted, where the birds make their nests. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forests do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey, and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth. They gather themselves together, and lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labour until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. We'll end our reading there at the verse 24 in that Psalm 104. It really does emphasise the goodness of God through his creation and even the way in which he governs his creation and the laws which have been established and the way it's all worked together well. How manifold are thy works, in wisdom thou hast made them all, the psalmist says. Then we're turning to Matthew 6, and we're coming to the verse 11 today. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. When God gave Moses his Ten Commandments, he gave them on the two tablets, and the first of those tablets primarily dealt with our duty toward God, and then following on from that, you have our duty toward our fellow man. And I suppose one of the lessons in that was that our first obligations are to the Lord, and then after that, we have obligations upon this earth. And there is something similar happening here when we come to the Lord's Prayer. We begin with three petitions which deal very directly with the Lord. We're praying for his name, for his kingdom, for his will. And now we move on to prayer for ourselves. Having dealt with the needs with regard to the Lord and his glory and his work, we now come to deal with our own many needs. And so, if you like, we come to a new section in the Lord's Prayer tonight. This section concerning ourselves and our needs, it begins with this prayer, give us this day our daily bread. So we're taught here to pray for bread. That's the title I'm going to take here, Praying for Bread. praying for bread. And the first thing I would say to you as we think of this praying for bread is that in many ways we could describe it as a mundane prayer. It's a mundane or very ordinary prayer. Up until this point, we've been praying about high and lofty things. We've been praying about such glorious things as the name of God and the prosperity of the gospel in the earth and crying unto God for holiness in ourselves and in the earth as well. And in comparison to those things, is this not quite a mundane, an ordinary, a common prayer? Give us our daily bread. We've been praying about grand things, and yet now we're coming to pray about the smallest of things. Something that, let's face it, we quite often take for granted. A simple loaf of bread. Can I say here that surely this hammers home the point to us that there's nothing too small to bring to the Lord. In fact, we are to bring everything to the Lord in prayer, even down to the very bread that we need. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And what an encouragement it is that the Lord is interested in the smallest details of our lives, and he's pleased to meet those most straightforward needs. Perhaps I should say at this point that while this is quite a simple prayer, that we're praying for bread, yet at the same time we can say it is a substantial prayer because it extends beyond bread itself. Christ uses the word bread here, and I suppose primarily, yes, the thought is of daily food. But it really extends to cover all of our earthly needs on a day-by-day basis. You know, food, clothing, shelter, all of these things that we need day after day. It's not a surprising thing to say that because we do the same thing with that word bread. When we talk about bread, and sometimes we use it to represent all the necessities of life. When you think of someone from a family who goes out to do the day's work, to earn a wage, you tend to call them the breadwinner. That's a term that we use sometimes, the breadwinner. Now, obviously, they're not arriving back home with a big sack of bread on their back. No, they're coming home with wages, perhaps, that they can use to, well, buy bread, but also buy all the necessities of life. And that's how bread is used here. It represents all of our daily needs. We're told to pray unto God, and essentially we're praying, "Give us this day all that is necessary for us, all the daily needs. Meet them." Now, it's not a prayer for the grand and lofty things. It's for the simple things that we need day after day. Whether it's bread or shelter or clothing or whatever, these simple basic needs. And what a wonderful thing that the Lord is willing to supply even the basic needs of his people. Yes, he is the God who supplies such wonderful things as the forgiveness of sins and sanctification, joy in the Lord. But how wonderful that he also supplies these simple things like bread and clothing and shelter and warmth. The Lord leaves no detail untouched and forgotten. He supplies all these little things. Philippians 4 verse 19 says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Psalm 34 verse 10 says, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." And so the Lord is pleased to give even these smaller things that we would need. As you think of this, that we're supposed to be, in fact here we're told to be praying for even these smallest things unto God, and looking to him to give these things to us, does it not emphasize the mercy of God toward each and every one of us? Because is it not true regarding most of these things that we're guilty of not praying about them, or not praying about them as we should? We tend to take these things for granted, especially in this society where we do have an abundance of what we need. It's not as if we're waking up in the morning and we're panicking about what we're going to eat that day. My guess is that this morning, you didn't wake up and cry unto God for today's food. You didn't make it a matter of prayer, I'm guessing. Well, we're supposed to. We're supposed to pray for our daily bread. We're supposed to bring these smallest needs to the Lord. And yet, instead, so often we presume upon having food. We're guilty of this. And what a mercy God shows us. When even though we neglect these things in prayer, things that we should be praying for, things that Christ tells us to pray for, Give us this day our daily bread. What a mercy that the Lord just doesn't just cut them off from us. You know, James 4 verse 2 has the principle, ye have not because ye ask not. And so there are things which the Lord withholds from us because we are prayerless. But how merciful God is to us that even though we rarely ask for these simple things, even though we very rarely are praying for today's bread, yet the Lord so often has given it anyway. Can you imagine what life would be like if God only gave you the blessings which you specifically asked for? Can you imagine how much poverty we'd be in if God only gave us what we'd asked for? God is merciful to us, abundantly so. How good and gracious a God we have. Here's a mundane prayer, and yet God is interested in hearing a cry like this and interested in answering it. And even so often when we don't pray it, overlooking it perhaps because it's so simple, yet the Lord in mercy still so often does supply the need. It's a mundane prayer. Secondly, we could say it is a humbling prayer. It's a humbling prayer. We're always prone to pride. It's one of the big sins that is always going to have to be squashed right the way through your existence here and now. It's one of those sins that's very hard to defeat. Pride in the heart. We're always prone to it. And because of it, most of us don't like the idea that we need support from elsewhere. Man likes to take pride that we can maybe pay our own way in life, and we don't depend on handouts. And yet, what we need to remember is that before God, really we are but beggars. That's all we are. You notice what this cry is in prayer. We're told to say, give us, give us. And we're praying about something as simple as bread. Give us. We're not asking God to sell us bread here. We're not bartering and trading with him. We're coming to him with outstretched hands and we're asking God to give. Give us this day our daily bread. And bear in mind, as I say, we're talking about a loaf of bread. We're talking about something very simple. And yet even with regard to a simple loaf of bread, we need to cry out, give us. Give us. There's a recognition here that if God doesn't give, we will not have. You know, we should always be conscious that because of our sins, we deserve absolutely nothing from God. Nothing. It's not just that we don't deserve heaven, but we don't even deserve our existence on this earth. We don't deserve the blessings of this earth. By our sin, we should have cut ourselves off from all of God's blessing. God warned Adam that in the day he ate of the tree in disobedience, he would surely die. And in Adam, by our own sin, we have forfeited the right to live in God's creation. We have forfeited all the blessings of this world. We have no right to them. God could justifiably withhold every single blessing from us. And therefore, every single blessing that you possess, and you have many of them, they are all gifts of God's grace. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Every good thing you possess, without exception, is of the Lord's grace. We have the tendency, especially talking about bread, we tend to think, well, we earn our own way. I go out to work and I make the money and I buy the bread. We do it ourselves. But we would do well to remember what God said to his people in Deuteronomy 8. There in Deuteronomy 8, verse 17 and 18, the Lord said, thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Even there, these people are saying, we get wealth by our own hand, by our own power. And yet God says, well, it's only because I've given you power that you can even begin to go and get this wealth. Every good thing is from the Lord. You see, here's a humbling prayer. Because as we come asking God for prayer, we're recognizing that in our own power, without God's mercy shown, we will be destitute of everything. We'll have absolutely nothing to our name. How good the Lord is. That here we are as beggars, and yet he gives us so abundantly. Now, if we do have that perspective that all things are given from the Lord, that we are but beggars and he has given us that which we enjoy, if we recognize that all we have is received first of all from God, that should give us perspective as we think about the things that we have to do and how to do what we should with the things that we have. Often we can be tempted to think of our possessions as if they belong very tightly to us. There are those things that we've secured by our own power, and therefore we tend to hoard our things and we use them for ourselves rather than honouring the Lord with them. Really, we ought to have the attitude that David had when he and the people of God set aside abundantly for the building of the temple. And David prayed in 1 Chronicles 29 and the verse 14. And he said there, "But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." He added in verse 16, "O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own." There's David and the people of God in that day, and they're setting aside abundantly for the temple to be built eventually under Solomon. They've given generously to this, but even as they do so, they recognize, "We've given nothing that's not already yours, O God." They're saying, it's all thine already. We've received it from you and we're giving it back. That's all it is. You see, when God has given us, should we not be ready to use his good gifts for his glory then? All the good things that you or I possess, really, they're not things that we've earned ourselves. They're things that the Lord has given. Does that not strip away as well the thinking of any who try to become self-righteous, especially when offering God maybe our time and our money? Now, there's so many people who do that. You know, they think, "Well, I'll get to heaven all right because, well, I put a certain amount in the collection plate in the church, or I give a certain amount of this to charity, or even of my time to the Lord's work," or whatever it might be. These things are already the Lord's in the first place. How can we earn God's favour by giving him what's already his? How can we earn God's favour by giving back his gifts? It strips away all self-righteousness. It humbles us. Here's a humbling prayer. "Oh, that we would always remember, we are but beggars before the Lord." And therefore, how glad we should be that he is a charitable God, looking kindly upon our distress. This is a mundane prayer, and it is a humbling prayer. In the third place, we can say it is an accompanied prayer. It is an accompanied prayer. And by that, I'm getting at the fact that this is a prayer that is to be accompanied by work. We pray unto God here saying, "Give us this day our daily bread." But we don't pray this prayer and then sit about being lazy all day and waiting for the bread to arrive at the door. It is to be accompanied by work. I quoted a minute ago from Deuteronomy 8. And there the Lord said, "Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth." And one of the primary ways that God answers this prayer for daily bread is by giving us strength to work for our daily needs. You know, work is a good thing. We should never be speaking bad of work, as if work is a necessary evil. Work is a good thing. Work is a God-instituted thing. When God made Adam and Eve in the garden before the fall, he made them to work. They were to toil or to work in the garden, to keep the garden, to tend to it. Now, at that time before the fall, it maybe didn't involve the same sweat and toil as it does now. But there was still a work to do. And today, God calls his people to work. Work is a good thing. A God-instituted thing, a God-glorifying thing. We're designed to work. Whether that be in a workplace or whether it be in the home, we're designed to work. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 10 stresses the principle. "If any would not work, neither should he eat." If any would not work, neither should he eat. In verse 12 of that chapter, And Paul exhorts the people that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Now I stress when I say that and quote those passages, it's dealing with people who could be working but who are refusing to work, those who are being lazy. It's not talking of people who actually can't work or are finding it hard to get a job or, you know, something of that nature. It's talking about the one who has opportunity, but he's not putting any effort in, he doesn't want to work, he's lazy. Well, God's word says if he'll not work, he shouldn't eat. That's it. There are times when the Lord does miraculously provide, and particularly when his people are unable to work for what is needed. But in the main, the principle is that if you're able to work, you should. And in fact, by giving you work to do, God is answering this prayer of giving you your daily bread. And yet again, I stress that even after we work hard, even after we labour, there must be an attributing of everything we receive to the good mercy of God. It's him that gives us the power to work. It's not the strength of our own hand and our own ability that has gained us the power, gained us that which we need. It's the Lord. The Lord has given us strength to work. The Lord has ultimately provided the need. This prayer is what I'm calling a mundane prayer. It is a humbling prayer, and it is an accompanied prayer. In the fourth place, we can say that it is a charitable prayer. It's a charitable prayer. I'm highlighting here the fact that we don't merely pray, give me, but rather we're praying, give us. And the lesson then is that we are to take an interest in the basic needs of others. There is to be a charitable spirit in the heart of God's people so that our praying includes others and that even it includes their basic needs. Additionally, what that means is that there is to be a labouring to meet the basic needs of others. I think I said it a few weeks ago at one stage, but one of the great principles for prayer is that generally speaking, what we pray for, we work for. When we're praying for the advance of the gospel, we should also be those who are bringing the gospel out into this world. And likewise, when we pray for daily bread, we should be those who are working for daily bread. And as we pray for daily bread for others, we should be those labouring to meet the basic needs of others. As we pray, give, in a large part, we're asking God to enable us to provide for ourselves what is needed by work. In praying, give us, we can expand on that idea. And in part, we're praying that God would enable us to meet the needs of others. Now, that doesn't take away from the principle we've already mentioned. If someone's being lazy, if someone could be working, and they're not, they're refusing to do it, well, they don't really deserve to eat, Scripture says. It's not the obligation of the Christian just to give handouts to whoever's lazy and who won't do what they should be doing. But particularly here, we could think of those who are unable to provide for themselves, those who are in desperate need or who have needs that they can't supply by their own strength. We should be praying and labouring so that these simple things would be supplied. You know, think of perhaps our missionaries. Now, they can work hard and so on, but some of our missionaries are working hard in places that can't really give a wage to them. And, well, we should seek to be like the Philippians who Paul commended for saying, for even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. We should be looking to support the needs of those who have those needs, especially those labouring and being industrious but have needs to be met. May the Lord make us instruments through which those would be supplied. In the early church, many places took up a collection for the saints in Jerusalem who were going through a time of great famine and need. Paul speaks of that in some of his epistles. The people wanted to practically meet that need as they saw fellow believers who were greatly struggling. Even as individuals within a congregation, when we see another who's heavily struggling, there should be a desire in our hearts to help as we're able. In Ephesians 4 and verse 28, the instruction was given, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labour, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." And here's someone who they used to steal, they used to take from others, But now, because of salvation, he's changed. And he's instructed here, let him work to provide honestly for himself, but also to give to him that needeth. Now, you might not have stolen before your salvation, but the principle's still there. Are you working to give to him that needeth? Again, when we recognize that everything we have is from the Lord, is it such a hard thing to use his good gifts as gifts to others? I wonder, do you have a charitable heart tonight? As God has provided for you, are you willing to be God's instrument in meeting the needs of others? Does it not emphasize our own self-centeredness and our own sinfulness that so often we're quick to receive the good things that God gives us? We take of his charity, and yet so often we refuse to have that charitable spirit ourselves when it comes to others. That's a dreadful thing. Here we are in prayer as children coming to our Father, to our Provider, and we are to seek not just our own basic needs, but those of others as well. This is a mundane prayer, a humbling prayer, an accomplished prayer, a charitable prayer. In the fifth place, we can say that it is a daily prayer. A daily prayer. The way Christ teaches us to pray here, it's not just that we pray once that God would provide our needs in this moment, from this moment until we die, and then we just go about our way happily forgetting about it. God has already met all the need, we'll just leave it there. No, this is to be a daily prayer. You'll notice in the Lord's Prayer here, give us this day our daily bread. Give us today what we need, is how you could read that. Give us today, this day, our daily bread. Our focus here is not to be upon next week or even tomorrow. It's upon today. Now, surely one lesson we could draw out of that, surely that teaches us the frailty of our lives. Christ tells us to pray simply for today, for what you need today. You know, the reality is that none of us here are guaranteed tomorrow. All we have for sure is today. And even then, you're not guaranteed to reach the end of today. Therefore, as we pray about today, there is a reminder that today is all we're sure of. How brief our lives are, and therefore how important to use what time we have for the Lord. We're not to be like the rich fool who Christ spoke about in Luke 12. That man said, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He's planned way ahead, stockpiled plenty, and he's putting his hope and confidence in that. But God says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. We're not guaranteed a tomorrow. Now, it's not that we make no provision for the future at all, but we are not to presume upon the future. And in a sense, we can say that we're not called here to worry and stress about the future either. We're called to bring the needs of today onto the Lord and look to the Lord today to meet all the struggles and difficulties that come our way. It's a daily prayer. Give me today, give us today our daily bread. Something else to think about with regard to this being a daily prayer. What it means is that every day you and I are reliant upon the Lord. Every day we need to experience afresh his provision for us. And what that means is that every day as you receive gifts from God, you are receiving mercy from him, fresh mercies day by day. How much better that is. Suppose God gave us everything we need in one go and then allowed us to wander off and ignore him for the rest of our lives and never have communion with him again. That would be tragic. That would be a dreadful thing. Instead, what a wonderful thing it is, if only we could grasp it, If only we were conscious of it when every day we are receiving fresh mercy from the Lord. You think of that. Every day there are fresh tokens of his love and grace given to you. Think of the prodigal son who received his whole inheritance and then he went off into the far country. There's someone, he had everything he needed, but he didn't have any intimacy with his father and he missed out on so much. And even if that prodigal son had never wasted his substance, how much better for him if he'd been in his father's house and he had received daily directly from his father's hand. He might not have had the big bank account all in one go, but how good it would be for him to day by day receive that which was good for him. How good it is to day by day receive from the Lord. Think of Elijah when he went to the brook Cherith in the time of famine. And day by day, the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and in the evening. That must have been a tremendous experience for Elijah, because it emphasized to him, here's God giving me my daily bread. And day after day, here's a fresh gift from God. That must have been some experience, as Elijah saw the raven coming and he's praising God again. Praise the Lord, he has given me another gift this morning. Praise the Lord, he's given me another gift this evening. He's provided once more. You know, your gifts and mine might not come via a raven, but the same is true. Every day, God supplies you with fresh gifts from heaven. And oh, how thrilled we should be that there is an intimacy with the Lord, that he day by day supplies us with our need. Day by day, our Father comes and loads us with blessings and benefits. Here's a prayer it's a mundane prayer, a humbling prayer, an accompanied prayer, accompanied by work, a charitable prayer, and a daily prayer. But also in the sixth place, we can say that it is a trusting prayer. It's a trusting prayer. Here we pray and we say, give us this day our daily bread. Now, as you think of those words, our daily bread, there is a bit of debate as to the meaning of the Greek words there, but the likeliest thing is that it refers to something like a daily ration that would be given to soldiers in the army. It's the daily portion, the fitting ration for the day. And the point then is that there is an allotted portion for the day. God has set it aside for us. God has set aside a portion for you today. It is your daily portion. As we're praying, give us this day our daily bread, it's as if God has already set aside that daily portion for us, and we're simply coming in prayer and we're asking, Lord, you've set it aside, now will you please give it so that I might have it to meet the needs. We pray this prayer trusting the Lord he's got a portion for us. The Lord has set aside particular blessings that you're going to need. He has reserved them as your ration, child of God. Therefore, as you pray and you recognize the troubles of the day, you can recognize at the same time that the Lord has provided the perfect ration pack to meet those troubles. You'll be supplied fully. How wonderful that while the Lord is interested in the great spiritual needs of our soul, he also takes interest in those basic needs and meets them absolutely. Sets aside, as it were, the ration pack. Gives you exactly what you need. Praise the Lord that he does day by day supply. He has a portion for us. David said in Psalm 37 verse 25, he says, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He's saying the Lord has provided all the way through. I've never known the Lord not to provide for his people. Because of this, Christ encourages us in Luke 12. And the verse 22 through to 24, he's encouraging us not to be fretting about the days ahead, not to be panicking. God has a portion to give us, you see. And Christ says there in Luke 12, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Christ is saying, well, The ravens, they don't stockpile their food. They don't have a storehouse or a barn. Day after day, they need fresh supply, and yet God has a daily portion for them. How much more will he have it for you? How much more are ye better than the fowls? We can pray this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, with confidence, trusting in our God, knowing that he has a portion to give us, a portion which will meet the needs of the day. It's a mundane prayer, a humbling prayer, an accompanied prayer, a charitable prayer, a daily prayer, a trusting prayer. One last thing. It is a basic prayer. A basic prayer. When we pray this, take note that we're not told to ask for something that is grand. We're not asking for the king's meat here. We're not asking for delicacies. We're told to pray for daily bread. We're not praying for the extravagant. We're praying for the basics, the simple needs. And this is a prayer that would teach us contentment. Contentment. You know, the book of Proverbs teaches us wisdom in a very pointed way, quite often. And we read the words of Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9, where really the prayer to God is this. Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9. He says, "Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." And there in the proverb, there's recognition. If God gives me nothing, I'm going to end up, or I'm in great danger ending up, stealing and defiling his name, taking his name in vain. If he gives me too much, I'm in real danger of forgetting my God, denying him. He says, give me neither poverty nor riches. Don't give me either of those things, Lord. Feed me with food convenient for me. Give me my daily bread. We are not to be those striving after the riches of this world, but rather we are to be content with the good things that God does give. Now, there's no problem with someone being well off. Of course, there's more responsibility that comes with that. But it's not as if being rich is a sin. And yet, we're not to be striving after the things of this world. In fact, according to James 4, verse 3, one of the reasons God doesn't give us what we ask for is because we're asking out of greed and lust. He says there, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." He's saying you're not getting these things because you're just asking out of lust, out of greed. You're going after the things of this world. That's why God's not answering those prayers. Immediately from that, James goes on to give the direct challenge. "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God?" He's speaking here to people who are praying. Praying for foolish things, praying for the riches of this world. And he's saying, don't be an adulterer or an adulteress. Remember, friendship of this world is enmity with God. The two are opposites. Don't be chasing after this world. You're to be chasing after the Lord. See, we're to be content with what we have. We're to be content with what God sees fit to give us. Give us this day our daily bread. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 says, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." Then Paul goes on in the next verse to give the reasoning. "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." Contentment. Give us our daily bread. Give us what we need, Lord. We're not asking for the riches of this world. We're asking for what we need. And God is pleased to give what we need. We have needs here and now, and oh, how we can praise God that he is willing to supply those needs. He gives us our food. He gives us our shelter. He cares for all the little details. But let's always remember that with regard to the things of this world, we bring nothing in, we carry nothing out. For the child of God, our treasure is not in this earth, Our treasure is to be found in heaven. Our treasure is there with the Lord, and what riches there are laid up in store there for we who are Christ's. Let us then be content. Let us be joyful and thankful for the good and sufficient things that God gives us now. Give us this day our daily bread. May God bless his word to us and help us in praying this. For Christ's sake, amen.